Please be seated. Our next case this morning is Palmer v. Seattle Public School District. Is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Jeff Freiman. I'm representing the appellant, Seattle School District, the defendant below. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, if I may, please.
You may.
There are two main issues in this appeal. The first is whether the plaintiff was a trespasser or a licensee when he climbed onto the upper roof of the school where the skylight was located and he fell through. And the second issue is, if he was indeed a trespasser, whether he has presented admissible evidence creating a question of fact as to all five elements of the attractive nuisance doctrine. Turning to the first issue, plaintiff's factual admissions establish he was a trespasser when he climbed onto the upper roof where the skylight was located in September 2013. A person's common law status as a trespasser versus a licensee is determined or hinges on whether the individual received either express or implied consent or permission to enter the location where the injury occurred. Here, Mr. Palmer admitted that at no time did he have permission to be on the school roof, any part of it, let alone the upper part where the skylight was located.
Let's assume that he's a trespasser. For purposes of the attractive nuisance analysis, does it matter whether or not the school district or whether it was commonly known throughout the school that there was this rumor that there was a pool on the roof?
If there were admissible evidence of knowledge of children commonly congregating on that upper portion of the school roof, that would go to the fourth element of the attractive nuisance doctrine. And here, there is no such admissible evidence of that. The only evidence that remotely could approach that is in Mr. Palmer's declaration, where he stated that he believed teachers were aware of rumors that kids were going onto the school roof looking for a swimming pool. No testimony about going on that upper roof that was encased with metal, a locked metal grill over the ladder. So I think that even that evidence is insufficient, but moreover, it's speculative on his part. Admissible evidence would be testimony from a teacher, for example, or an administrator at the school saying, yeah, we were aware of this. He cannot present admissible evidence himself about what somebody else knew by merely stating that, yeah, they knew.
What if he said in his declaration, I was talking to my classmate Bill in front of teacher X, and I told Bill, hey, did you hear about the swimming pool on the roof in front of teacher X? Wouldn't that be a way of doing it?
That would perhaps be enough to create a question of fact. Of course, we don't have that here.
I understand that, but I'm challenging what you said was necessary.
Yeah, I think that might be enough, perhaps, to create some question of knowledge on the part of the school district that could be imputed to the administration if one teacher was aware of it and there was evidence to support that, sure. But here, again, that's completely lacking. And I think, if I may, unless you would like to explore further on the attractive nuisance doctrine, I just would wrap up on the status as a trespasser. That is, I think, firmly established by his admission to that effect, that I knew I was never allowed to go on that roof. The argument to combat that is essentially that, there wasn't a no trespassing sign saying you can't go on the roof. Well, I would submit that's irrelevant. If he knew, regardless of the presence of signs or not, that he wasn't allowed up there. So that brings us to, well, if that's the case and he's a trespasser, then the only duty owed by the district to a trespasser would be to refrain from willful and wanton misconduct. And there's no evidence of that. In fact, there's an admission that the district did not intend to injure him. So the only way that this case could go forward would be if he, and it's only a negligence claim, by the way, that's the sole claim here, The only way it could go forward as a negligence claim would be if he were able to show all five elements of the attractive nuisance doctrine were met. In our summary judgment motion, we focused on three of those five elements. His failure on any one of them would justify granting the summary judgment. The first one we focused on is the element one on inherent dangerousness of a building roof and or a skylight on the roof. We cited the court to persuasive authority, at least, that's pretty squarely on point in the sense of dealing with a younger child, much younger than this plaintiff, falling through a skylight in a building, where courts have held that, a skylight on a roof is not inherently dangerous in the sense that it is not probable or likely that children who encounter, most children who encounter that condition are going to fall. So our position is that element is not met. On the third element, he has to show that by reason of his youth, he was incapable of understanding the risk presented by being on a roof. And we cited the court to numerous Washington cases that essentially hold that elevated structures are not something that children who are old enough to be at large fail to understand, that if they fall, they could be hurt. So that element isn't met. And then finally, the fourth element that we discussed a few moments ago about knowledge by the landowner of the frequent attendance at the site of the incident, that children were trespassing there, and there's simply no evidence whatsoever that's admissible to support that element. So unless there are further questions, I'll reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Right.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Betsy Lumiali-Gix. I have assumed responsibility for this case from Mr. Jackman, and I'm here representing Eunice Palmer, the child who was hurt when, with tolerance of his ability to get onto the roof, which is a key here, in terms of his designation of either a trespasser or a licensee.
Well, he would have needed explicit or implied consent, right?
It's implied consent or tolerance is in the language. The fact that they had readily a way that was readily accessible for students to get on the roof.
Well, tolerance implies knowledge. Is there any evidence that there was knowledge on behalf of the school district that kids were accessing the roof?
There is none other than that is in the record below, other than the declaration and the deposition testimony that's before the court, that it was well known that kids would get on the roof.
But and the judicial that deposition testimony comes from Palmer himself. There was no testimony from teachers or anybody else in the school district that indicated it was common knowledge, right?
That is correct. There is nothing in the record along those lines that would indicate that they knew kids were getting on the roof. However, I note several cases that we have presented to this court show that judicial notice has often been taken of the propensity of children to explore and to climb onto buildings. The expert Judith Billings also testified to that in her declaration.
But Palmer in this case admitted that he knew he shouldn't have been on the roof.
He admitted that he did not have permission to get on the roof. This is true. That is not the same as saying that he admitted that it would not be tolerated for him to go on the roof, or it was not implied that he could be up there to explore this commonly known rumor that there was.
Is it that, or he thought he wasn't going to get caught?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Well, there's tolerance, and then there's, I think I can get away with it because they don't know I'm doing it.
He was doing it in broadside in daylight on a Saturday afternoon. It wasn't as if they snuck up there in the middle of the night.
Schools closed on Saturdays, wasn't it?
That's true. That's true, Your Honor. The school was closed. So, however, it's clear that in the Tencani case and in the Beebe case, that the question of status on the land is a question of one for the jury. If there is some evidence that would indicate that there is a distinction between being a trespasser and being a licensee. And admittedly, the record is light on that, but it is not completely lacking in facts from which a jury could conclude, as they did in Tencani, where clearly the individual was outside of where he was invited to be at the time he fell.
So you indicated that the key issue in this case is the status of Mr. Palmer at the time that the injury occurred. Are you conceding then that there is not evidence sufficient to support all five elements of the attractive nuisance?
No, Your Honor. I'm asserting that there is evidence in the record that would allow us to proceed on both to pursue with the jury whether or not he was a licensee at the time, whether he had converted from an invitee, which he clearly was at the time he started playing on the playground, to a licensee at the time that he accessed the roof.
What is your argument with regard to, for example, the element of attractive nuisance that indicates that the skylight would have to be open in an area known to have children frequent?
This goes, again, to the judicial notice and the propensity of children, which especially boys, to be inquisitive and to climb onto objects.
But doesn't that element require that it's in an area known to be frequented by children? I mean, should the school district know that children are going to be frequently congregating on a second level of a roof where there's a skylight?
It says it would be known to be. It is not necessary that proof be in the record that congregates of children got on the roof.
But it does. It says children of tender ages are accustomed to resort. That's what our Supreme Court said in Occampaw.
And if you look at how that was applied, for example, in the Mathis case, was there any evidence presented in that case that children tended to congregate and play on beams that were stacked in a construction area?
But that might be something that's open and obvious, right?
A roof is open and obvious, isn't it, Your Honor?
But it's the skylight we're talking about here.
Yes, but the skylight is a man-made object that is a part of the roof. And in the condition it was in at the time he was on the roof, it was unrecognizable as a skylight. And if you look at what they have conceded it was a lure.
Let me interrupt you and go back to number four. Wasn't there some effort by the school district to limit use of the ladder that provided access to the level that the skylight was on?
That is true. However, it's a misnomer. If you look at the proximate causal chain from the time that they gained access to the roof through easily accessible use of the railings and all, which he testified he was able to do for himself. Once they used that means and they were on the roof, the fact that then it became more difficult to get to a different area of the roof does not disrupt the proximate causal chain between the initial action of getting onto the roof, which was facilitated by the manner in which there were no impediments to easy access, when they were readily available, which is also interesting because the district apparently concedes 2 and 5. They concede the roof was alluring to children, and they concede that there were reasonably practicable ways they could have made it safe. And as pointed out in our materials, that's easy. And they could have had a mesh. They could have had a railing. They could have had a warning. They could have had
But they did have a locked gate across the ladder to block access to the second level. That's an impediment to access. Doesn't that make him clearly a trespasser as to the second level? And the attractive nuisance you're relying on isn't even visible or knowable from that spot.
The attractive nuisance is a man-made impertinent to the roof. And the fact that it was not visible from that spot does not make it any less.
So is it the skylight yourself that you're saying is the attractive nuisance?
The roof and
everything on the roof is an attractive nuisance?
The roof is an attractive nuisance. The skylight was a dangerous condition they knew or should have known could injure a student Mr. Units.
How is a skylight an inherently dangerous condition?
Well, it's to the point where the OSHA requires that they have mesh to support someone weighing 200 pounds. It is an inherently dangerous condition when it is dusty and unrecognizable, as it was, and the uncontested testimony is that it could not be discerned as a skylight.
So I have a skylight on my house. Is that an attractive nuisance?
Your private residence?
Yes.
Is
and there's kids in the neighborhood.
That's true, but that is not the same as a school district, which invites and is aware of the presence of children on a regular basis.
I see kids on the sidewalk in front of my house daily. And they're playing.
You, as a private citizen, have a different duty than the school district, which invites children and knows that the school is regularly attended by hundreds of children who go there.
But this didn't happen on a school day, did it?
It is still somewhere that he learned. He learned when he was a student during a school day of this alleged pool on the roof. And the key, again, I go back to, they've conceded that they could have reasonably made this safe, that it was practicable when they did not contest item number 5. That implies they knew it was dangerous to have this skylight on the roof in the first place in the condition it was in.
That does not say too much. They knew it would have been dangerous had they expected people to be walking around it, but they didn't have any reason to think there would be anybody walking on the roof, I think is their position.
That is their position, but that goes contrary to what's been judicially noted in a myriad of other cases.
So we need to take judicial notice that children will ignore a locked gate, find a way around it, and go on to the next level of roofing on a building.
It goes back, Your Honor, to the...
Is that what you're asking us to take judicial notice of?
No, I'm asking you to take judicial notice that the school district had to be aware. It's strange credulity that no one had ever gone on that roof that they were aware of or that they'd never had to do anything in conjunction with a roof from folks being on it.
Why does it strain credulity? I went to 12 years of public schools, and I don't ever remember a kid being on the roof of any school I attended.
I appreciate that.
So why does it strain credulity, and why should I take judicial notice of the contrary?
Because the rumor was well known. Because there was declaration testimony to this effect, there was testimony from the expert, Judith Billings, that students regularly got on the roof, and the proximate causal chain began when he got on the roof in the first place, in the readily accessible place, and it was not, the latter is not a supervening cause.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have 4 points in rebuttal. First, the point made that it was common knowledge that children climb on building roofs. I would point out to the court the Harris versus Cowles case that we cited in our brief that states that the attractive nuisance doctrine is inapplicable to buildings, walls, trees, etc., despite common knowledge that children do climb trees. They climb up walls and they get on buildings. So that legal authority, I think, dating back to the early 1900s, remains on the books. The second point is the skylight was not the nuisance that Mr. Palmer was attracted to. His testimony is he was attracted to the roof because he believed there's this rumor of a swimming pool being there. The skylight had absolutely nothing to do with why he was on that roof. The third point in response to Your Honor's question about owning a house with a skylight on your roof and being a private citizen was the distinction being made that there's a different duty owed by the school district than owed by a private citizen. That's not true. The duty is the same depending because you're the landowner. It doesn't change.
This is a proprietary capacity theory of liability.
Well, yeah. It's premises liability, Your Honor. So the duty under the common law accepted by our courts repeatedly is the duty turns on the status of the person on the land. It does not turn on whether the owner of the land is public or private. So the same duty would apply to a private landowner vis-a-vis a skylight on their roof as would apply to the South School District in this case. And it would turn on whether the person getting on that person's roof, or that landowner's roof, was a trespasser, licensee, or invitee. And the final point I wanted to make was the reference to the Billings Declaration where the school knew. First of all, I don't believe she testified to that in her declaration, but in any event, again, it suffers from the same faults that Mr. Palmer's declaration that the school people knew. There is no evidence supporting that at all that's admissible. And that is a requirement to withstand summary judgment, is to present admissible evidence, and that is lacking in this case. So we ask that the court reverse the denial of summary judgment in this matter and order entry of summary judgment in favor of the Seattle School District. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Court will be in recess.